Okay, I'm going to pass some scriptures to you. Chinese. Korean. English. And I'm going to ask you to memorize those scriptures this week in whatever language you wish. So everybody here, you grew up in a family, so you know something about what it means to live in a family. And you know that in a family, you say things to one another that you would not say publicly, right? You live around them. It's just, you know, Mom, why do I have to do this? This is boring. You're not being fair. To a stranger, you'd be more polite, wouldn't you? Okay, God says He's our Father, right? In Christ, we're part of the family. And we have access to God in prayer. And so, sometimes you see in Scripture this sort of family talk with God, where David just sort of lets God have it, in a sense. He's tired of what he's seeing, and he wants God to know. He lets God know what's on his heart. And he does it a lot. We've seen it already in some of the Psalms we've looked at. And we're going to see it again. Here's what it looks like. Psalm 13. It says, "To the choir master, a psalm of David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has dealt bountifully with me." Now, look at the first two verses of this psalm, and what words do you keep seeing repeated? How long? How long? How long? How long? How long? Four times he says this. He's talking to God. He's saying, "How long, God?" Now, let me ask you a question. When people use those words, how long, what's going on?
They're impatient.
They're impatient? Okay. And what's going on in their life?
Something they don't like.
Something they don't like. No one ever says, "How long are we going to have to enjoy this vacation?" You've never heard that, right? And you never will. Because people don't say those words when they're enjoying themselves. They say those words when they don't like it. It's, "How long will I be stuck in this job that I can't stand? How long do I have to be unemployed? How long am I going to have to wrestle with loneliness? How long, Lord, am I going to suffer this sickness that I've got?" You hear people talk that way when they are in those situations. You never hear them talk that way when they're enjoying themselves. And so how long is for times when we hurt? Okay, David hurts. And again, his suffering deals with enemies. We've seen that in all many, many Psalms already. And we see that again here. If you look at verse 2, it's, how long shall my enemy be exalted over me? And then again in verse 4, he says, answer me, lest my enemy rejoice over me, basically. David feels as if God has forgotten him. That's verse 1. That's how it opens, right? How long will you forget me forever? He thinks God's forgotten him. And when you suffer, sometimes you wonder that. We wonder where God is when we hurt. We don't generally wonder where God is when things are going well. We may forget God when things are going well, but we don't really wonder where he is. We don't even sometimes think about him. But when there's a lot of pain, we start wondering, well, where'd God go? I mean, if God loves me, why is this happening to me? That's how we think. It's natural. David is saying to God, where are you? He doesn't see God. His soul is full of sorrow. This is how you feel when someone you love dies. This is how you feel when your boss fires you or your coworkers slander you. You can't get it out of your mind. It just keeps coming up. And David is talking to himself. That's verse 2. How long must I take counsel in my soul? That's what that means. He keeps thinking of the situation that he's in with his enemies. He can't get his enemies out of his mind. He's giving himself advice inside. He's sort of running it over and over. And what they're saying to him. He can't get out of his mind what they keep saying to him. And how do I respond? I don't know what I should do. Now, all of this is real. This is a real situation. It's a real feelings. These are real feelings that David has. And God does not promise that you will never taste sorrow at all. We've seen that all throughout the Psalms, 1 Peter, Revelation, lots of things that we've preached here. We've seen this idea of persecution and difficulty and so on for God's people. And when that happens, there may be times when you wonder, where's God? Now, ironically, the best help that you have when you feel that God is gone is God. That's the best help you have, even though you don't feel like he's there. See, look at this psalm. David feels God has forgotten him. David feels as if God is hiding. So then, who's he talking to? Does that seem really weird to you? He speaks to a God whom he feels has disappeared. That's what he's doing in this psalm. He's talking to a God that he can't see or he doesn't know where God is. It's as if David has these feelings, but he also knows reality. While he feels this way, he knows God is there. He wonders where God is, but He knows God's out there somewhere. He's talking to him. And those ideas are not opposites. They actually sometimes go together. It's like hide and seek. In America, we have this game called hide and seek. You may have a similar game in your countries. The way the game works is one person, in English we call it, he's it. That's kind of a weird name. Now, as I think about it, I can't explain to you what that means, but he hides his face, closes his eyes, and counts to 100, let's say. Everybody else in the game runs and hides. And when he gets to 100, he opens his eyes and he has to go find them. Okay. This psalm is kind of like a spiritual hide and seek, in a sense. It's where you're playing hide and seek, and you can't see the person, but you know he's there. And you start talking to him. And you say, all right, I know you're here. Come on out. Now, sometimes in hide and seek, we do that. Maybe in your countries, you do something similar. And David is doing that with God. He doesn't see God. I don't know where you are, but I know you're here somewhere. Now, come on out, God. Because he knows God's there. He knows it's just a hide and seek. It's not real. The feelings don't correspond to reality. He's really being rather brutally honest with God in this psalm. He's treating God like family, as if God is his father, in a sense. He's saying what he feels. This prayer is raw. It's full of emotion. He's not watering down his feelings to be polite with God. He's just telling God what's on his heart. And so when you hurt, tell God. And when you don't understand, tell God. And when you're afraid, tell God. And when you're lonely, or when you're angry, or when you're sad, tell God. And when you don't really even see God, tell him that. That's what David's doing. He's saying, God, I don't see you. You can say that too. God's okay with that kind of prayer because he knows that's what's coming from the heart and that's what he wants. That's kind of what Jesus died for. He died so that we might have a relationship with God. And so start having that relationship. That's what the cross provided for you. It opened up access to God. And so David's not happy. And he's telling God he's not happy. But he's doing more than that. This psalm is like other psalms that we've read, especially Psalm 6. This psalm and Psalm 6 are very much alike, even with the how longs is in Psalm 6 as well. It begins in sorrow, but it ends in singing. Look at verse 6. Verse 6 is how the psalm ends. That's a very different experience from verse 1. And so something takes David from sorrow to singing. And the thing that takes him from sorrow to singing is God. Verse 3, he says, Lord, answer me. Do something. Because if you don't, verse 4, my enemies will defeat me. David doesn't see God, But he trusts God. Verse 5. I have trusted in your steadfast love. Can you trust someone you don't see? David does. And specifically, he's trusting in God's love. He has just said in verse 2, my enemies are exalting over me. He just said that. But then in verse 5, he's trusting in God's love. And so, my enemies are exalting over me, but God, I know you love me. It's like I'm suffering this illness, but God, you love me. I just lost my job, but God, you love me. That's the idea that's going on here. Life just slapped me in the face, but God, you love me. When you hurt, does God love you? You may feel, no, he doesn't. You may feel that, but deep down, you know better, don't you? You know he loves you. David, he trusts in the love of God and says he's going to rejoice in God's salvation. That's in verse 5. My heart will rejoice in your salvation. The salvation he's talking about here very likely is deliverance from the enemies he's talking about in this psalm. He believes God is going to save him from these enemies. Why? He loves me. He's trusting in God's steadfast love. That's why he's going to rejoice in God's salvation. He sees who God is, even though he doesn't even see God. And he winds up singing in verse 6. I'll sing to the Lord. He's dealt bountifully with me. He's dealt bountifully with me basically means he's been good to me. That's what that means in simple words. I will sing to the Lord because he's been good to me. So hear that. Verse 1. Lord, will you forget me forever? Verse 6. You have dealt bountifully with me. Both of those things are true at the same time, in the same man, in the same psalm, in the same situation. He has both of those experiences, and they're both real. And we have those experiences. And when we do, they're both real. The hurt, the pain, the where are you, God, the wondering, but also the confidence that God is there and that he loves us. Now, for David, the past helps him rejoice in the present. Because he says, I will sing to the Lord because he has been good to me. It's past tense. It's because of what he's done, I will sing. I don't really see him right now working. But I have seen the goodness of God. And based on what I have seen, I'm going to trust in this God that has been so good to me in the past. I do this. How long, Lord? I've said those things. Where are you? But I know you will deal well with me. Why? Well, you've been so good to me. You've given me Leanne. You bought me salvation. I didn't deserve it, but you've given it to me. You've delivered me from sin. You've always provided my needs. I look back at how God has worked in our lives and marvel at what God has done. And it provides an anchor for the future. And so the crisis that you're going through now, the past tells me, God, you'll bring me through. Because you always have. And I don't like what's going on right now, but you've always brought me through. Sometimes I go for walks and I have that conversation with God. Now, to have these conversations with God, this is what David's doing, right? He's having a conversation with God. To do that, we have to be with God. Sometimes we're so busy with school and work and play and whatever it is, you know, whatever's going on in your lives, that we don't have time to come to God with our troubles. Sometimes we're so distracted by video games or whatever, you know, our phones, that we don't come to God. We're too distracted. God wants us to just come to Him and be with Him. Just come be with Him. Put your phone down. Turn the TV off. Turn the radio off. Talk with God. You will be amazed what it will do. If you begin to do that regularly, start making it a habit, you'll be amazed what it will do for your soul. You'll be so glad you did that. Just be with Christ. You see, David's prayer in this psalm comes out of a relationship that he has with God. These aren't just words, guys. This is a relationship that's getting expressed here. David is close to God. Consequently, he can talk this way to God because he's so close. And if you and I are going to talk to God about our troubles, then when we feel God is gone, the prayer has to arise out of a relationship that we have with God. That's the foundation of this whole psalm, is this relationship David has with God. David and God are intimate. They're close. Because David has taken time to be with God. We come to God because we know Him. That's why we come to God. And we know Him because we have actually taken time to be with Him alone. See, too many people want to separate prayer and intimacy with God, as if I can just sort of pray the prayers without knowing God Himself, without getting away with God. You know what that gives them? Words. That's what they have. That's all they have. Their prayer is just words. The power of prayer is in the relationship that we have with God. It's not just, the words aren't magic. God wants us with Him. And then the words come. And so I don't want you to just imitate David's words and think you're imitating David. Because you're not. You don't have anything then. What I'd rather have you do is to imitate his pursuit of God. This man wants God. And you? Do we want God? Or just words? This man is going to be with God. He's made up his mind. That's my life. My life is going to be spent with God. And it's going to be so much so that he's going to stand with God even when he feels that God isn't even there. Because he wants him. He knows God and he sings. Even when he's in trouble. Especially when he's in trouble. That's when the singing is most meaningful. When we are in trouble. Father, bless your name. And I thank you that you don't take away pain and difficulty. But you're with us in the midst of it. Hallelujah. Glory to you. I pray you make us your people who walk with you even when we don't see you. And people who want you more than anything else on earth. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close by singing a song. This is not Psalm 13. The song is pulled up over there. It's called The Promise. It's one of the tabs up there. You go to the tab, it says The Promise.